Our regular meeting. Today is September 18th. And we're a little late. It's about 4:34. Roll call, please.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Erring.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinal. Councilmember Vargas.
Here.
For the record, Councilmember Rabinal is absent.
Okay, thank you very much. The first item on our agenda is our invocation, and Dr. Paul Jones, would you please do our invocation? Everyone please stand. Remain standing for the pledge.
Would you please bow your heart with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, it was 6 years ago last Tuesday, 9/11/2001, the 19 foreign-born terrorists seized U.S. commercial jet airliners filled with high-octane jet fuel. They slammed them into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, the heart of our U.S. financial markets. Another jet airliner was flown into the nerve center of our U.S. military, the Pentagon, Washington, D.C., and nearly 3,000 innocent civilians were killed. This national disaster left thousands of American families grieving in shock and dismay and left our nation in mourning. Tonight, we continue to pray for these, our fellow citizens, who continue to grieve because of their loss of loved ones and those infirmed physically and mentally by this devastating event. Tonight, we do humbly repent of our sins, and we seek the favor of God, the all-sufficient one. King David declared, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And we offer thanks that there have been no other attacks by terrorists on our American soil these past 6 years. And we attribute this to the superabounding favor and protection of God. We ask your blessing and your understanding upon our local, national, and international intelligence gathering community. Thank you for every terrorist plot that has been unfoiled and has been uncovered and has been foiled. In humility, we seek your continued favor to rest upon those responsible for the security of our beloved nation. And we declare that our safety is a direct result of your protection. Throughout our history, our citizens and our leaders have found strength and courage to overcome tragedy and adversity as we anchor our faith in Almighty God. In confidence today, we rise up unitedly and we declare boldly, in God we trust. In the dignity of this City Council meeting, we invoke your divine wisdom and guidance to be upon our mayor and her colleagues, as well as their support staff. May each decision be a good decision that will honor you and benefit our citizens and guests who visit our beautiful city of Pismo Beach, the gem of the Central Coast. This invocation we pray in the name of our blessed Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Will you please face the flag, place your right hand over your heart, and follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. We have a couple of presentations this evening, and the first one is an introduction of a new employee, Mr. Rice.
Madam Mayor and Council and everybody in the audience, it's my pleasure tonight to introduce a great new employee that has just come on board here in the city of Pismo Beach. Her name is Megan Gross. Megan is a senior at Cal Poly in the Recreation, Parks, and Tourism Department. She interviewed with our Recreation Department earlier this summer and placed high on the panel's ratings. So when the CVB, the Conference and Visitor Bureau's position recently became available, she was asked if she was interested. She enjoys organizing events, interacting with people, and being outside, enjoying Pismo Beach and the surrounding area. And to give you an idea of some of the events that she's been involved in, at Cal Poly. It includes, she's been the Cal Poly Aquatics Student Manager. She hires and trains all the lifeguards up there. She's worked with Cal Poly in events such as the ASI Recreation Sports, the Relay for Life, American Cancer Society, and the Cal Poly Natural Resources Management Council. So I think we've got a great new employee, and I'd like to welcome Megan to the city and ask her if she has anything she'd like to say. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Thank you, Mr. Rice, Mayor Rice, and the council members. I am very excited to be working for the city of Pismo Beach. It's one of the reasons why I interviewed for the Recreation Department in the first place, was to work for such an outstanding organization. I know that by working under Susan Brazil and Renee Fortier, I'm going to be learning a lot about tourism on the Central Coast and for the state of California as well. And I'm excited to put it to good use with the studies that I'm getting at Cal Poly and to see where it's going to take me in my future. So thank you for the opportunity.
We welcome your experience. Thank you for joining us. The next item on our agenda is very special. We have two big promotions that just came about. Is the chief here? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. It is my privilege today to introduce to the community the results of our newest promotions, our newest police commander and our newest police sergeant. If I could have Commander Jake Miller and his family come up, please. Jake Miller came to us in 1995, and I think Jake's fingerprints are all over the police department. It'd be easier for me to talk about the things Jake hasn't been involved in rather than those that he has. He's been a detective sergeant. He's been a patrol supervisor as well as a patrol officer. He's been in charge of our SWAT team and on a countywide SWAT team. He's been a field training officer and a motorcycle officer and a whole bunch of things. But even more importantly and most recently, he was the co-manager of our efforts to become accredited. And if you haven't heard, that inspection that we had a couple weeks ago went extremely well, due in large part to the efforts of Jake Miller. So what we're going to do today is a formal pinning ceremony here, and I'm going to ask his lovely wife, Janine, to do the honors for me. But first, I got to ask his sons here, is your dad think he should get promoted? What do you guys think?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds good. All together.
Can you guys see okay?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Congratulations, Jake.
Thank you.
You're extremely well.
Thank you very much.
Got to push really hard, Janine.
Just
Commander Jake Miller.
Congratulations. Would you like to introduce your family?
Oh, sure, I would. That was my wife, Janine, my oldest, Jake, and then Matt, and then Nick. All got new haircuts just for the
evening. Congratulations. We're
thank
happy.
You. Thank you very much. And again, thank you very much for the opportunity. We won't let you down. Thank you.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say the reason for the promotions is because of the domino effect created by the retirement of Commander Scott Smith, who's in the audience today. And Scott is halfway out the door. We're going to keep him in the department to help us out with our investigations that come up because he's got tremendous experience in that regard. And also he's going to be working downtown for us on foot patrol, which we need to get that beefed up. So
we're really glad to hear that, too.
Okay, if I could have our newest sergeant, Brian Cox, and his wife, Linda, come up, please. Okay. By the way, with Jake Miller, he's going to be working in charge of our patrol bureau. So if there's any problems with patrol, if it takes too long for an officer to get to your house or something, Jake's the guy to call. Jeff Miller is going to be taking over responsibilities for the admin side of the house, which includes detectives and dispatch and records and budgeting. Brian Cox has been with the organization just a short time, 2003, just barely over 4 years. And my guess is that he would have made sergeant in probably the shortest tenure with the organization of anybody here. But he has really made his mark here in the organization, first of all because of his size, but also because of the outstanding job performance he does. He has an excellent work ethic. Everybody that I talked to throughout the organization told me that Brian is very, very mature as a police officer. He served many nights as a acting watch commander, and he's very liability conscious, which helps me sleep really well at night. Brian comes to us as a lateral officer from the Douglas County, Nevada Sheriff's Office, where he had about 8 or 9 years' experience. And I'll tell you a quick story about Brian. We had our CALEA assessors here. One of them had the opportunity to meet Brian, and he came back later shaking his head, and he said, "That's the first time I've ever met a police officer whose badge sticks out horizontally rather than vertically because of size." So, Linda, if you could retrieve the police officer badge for me. First off, my congratulations. And a sergeant's badge. And the sergeant's position is one of the key positions in the organization. They're out there at 3 o'clock in the morning when the command staff's sleeping, making sure the job gets done and done well. So I have high hopes that Brian's going to do fantastic for us, which I'm sure he will.
Congratulations, Sergeant Cox.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that really added to our evening. Okay, now is the time for public comment, and this is the time for the public to speak to us on any on items that are not on the agenda this evening. You'll have 3 minutes. And I do have a few speaker's cards. If you plan on speaking, please fill out the slips in the back. Mary Hyman.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Marilyn Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, I'd like to point out to you today that we will have a new regular member in the audience who will be attending the council meetings, but you'll never hear her say a word. She is here to observe. Those of you who know about the League of Women Voters know that we keep track of what happens in all of the major county meetings as much as we can to keep people informed and to make sure that we have open public meetings and involvement of the public. And so this person sitting over here, if you would stand for a moment, please. This is Colleen L. Ehrenberg, and she will be observing. Thank you.
Welcome. Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, Council, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. It's my understanding that at your next regular council meeting, you're going to have a lengthy discussion about our water supplies. So I thought I'd try to get in a little early because there'll be a lot of talking at that one. I want to encourage you all to learn as much more as you can in the intervening 2 or 3 weeks about where our water comes from, the sources, how it gets here. And you're going to hear a lot about this from Dennis and Mr. Eads as well, about what it costs us. I was very fortunate to know a great deal about the State Water Project before I was elected to a city council back in the late 1970s. Because as a young aviator right out of flight training, I was sent to Marine Corps Air Station El Toro, and I was taken up for my initial familiarization flights by a guy who was studying California geography in college at night, and one of the things he wanted us to look at was the State Water Project. So he dragged me all over the state on about three different flights, and we started up at Lake Shasta, worked our way down the face of the Sierra, got to see all the dams, got to look at the delta, went down into the Colorado River area, looked at the reservoirs in Southern California. We got to see all of it, so I had a kind of a picture before I was put on the council and had an opportunity to take a tour of the water project, as many city council members did in those days. I hope some of you have had that opportunity. It was afforded here a few years ago. It's a wonderful thing to see. The California Water Project is truly one of the wonders of the world. If you consider, there's a lot of water in the state, but it's all in the wrong places. It mostly is in the north, and most of the people are in the south and central parts of the state. A lot of hard work and a lot of money has been put into it. I also had the opportunity to learn about the water project from our city attorney, who had been a water rights attorney for one of the biggest agricultural operations in California before he became a city attorney. He taught us all an awful lot. There are many good books on the state water project. If you haven't seen one or you haven't looked at it on the internet, I encourage you to do so as a background for what you'll hear about our local water supplies and the studies that have been done at our expense. Newspapers today in the big cities of California are full of stories about the impending water crisis. That always happens whenever the governor and the legislature are fighting about water, as they are right now. In my memory of about the last 25 years, this is about the third or fourth time we've been through this drill, and so a lot of us will be seeing things on television and reading things in the newspaper in the next few months about water in California. There are even ads being run on television today by the water purveyors promoting their point of view. And they are one of the two biggest players in the water game as it's played in California. Major agricultural interests are the other, and the water purveyors, like the big water district, are the other. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sheila Yaspiro, and if I didn't pronounce that right, please correct me.
Mayor Reese and Honorable Board, my name is Sherry Espero. I'm the Legislative Assistant to Supervisor Bruce Gibson, and I'm here today to talk about libraries. Imagine what our communities would be like without libraries. It's a scary thought. So how can we make a difference? How can you help guarantee the future of our libraries in San Luis Obispo County and your community? You can begin to make a difference by attending the Great Expectation event and be a part of the changes we need. Join us for this life-changing experience that will bring communities and libraries together. And if this isn't enough, this is a free event and includes a continental breakfast and a box lunch. Because this is a free event, pre-registration is required, and I think that you have before you all the documents that you need. The date is November 3rd, and it starts at 9:30 and ends at 2. It's at the Atascadero Lake Pavilion. And for more information, you can call me, 781-4338, or you can go online at www.slolibrary.org. And we hope to see you there.
Thank you very much. Dave Kelly.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Dave Cowley, and I live at 88 Dugan Drive in Pismo Beach. And I'm also here to talk about water. And I'm here to talk about my favorite subject, which is the Los Robles del Mar potential annexation. And recently I spent some time reading the LAFCO Supplemental Environmental Impact Report and the City of Aurora Grande's response to it, and finally the letter that Pismo Beach, the City of Pismo Beach's response to it. And I just have a few thoughts and questions that I'd like to pose to the council and to the city staff. All three documents come to the conclusion that there is not enough water for this project to go forward without the risk of overdrafting the aquifer. LAFCO and the City of Pismo Beach call for an agreement between the two cities and the property owners in the county to ensure that this doesn't take place. However, the City of Aurora Grande can currently pump as much water as they like from their wells, and it is hard to see their motivation to enter any agreement that will restrict their use of their water rights. It would appear from reading your letter to LAFCO that your staff thinks that LAFCO might have the power to enforce pumping restrictions on the city of Arroyo Grande. My research indicates that there is no evidence of a single case where any LAFCO in any county has done that or has even felt like they have the power to do it. If Arroyo Grande is pumping water within their city limits, LAFCO cannot tell them what they can do with their water. It would seem that for this annexation to take place, there should be an agreement in place before LAFCO would allow Los Robles del Mar into our city. If they allow this annexation without an agreement first, then there might never be an agreement, and endless litigation would follow. Can anyone doubt this? The next area of concern is that through this entire process, it was always stated that this project would use and need 150 acre-feet of water each year. Now in your letter and in the DESIR, a new number has appeared, and that is 107 acre-feet. Somehow the developer has come up with measures that would reduce the necessary water by 43 feet. My response to that is, what assumptions have changed? What possible measures could make such a huge reduction in water needs? This council would be wise to insist on scientific documentation to back that claim up. Once this project is hooked up to our water system, it would be very hard to monitor. And what would the consequences be if the number used was much higher? As of right now, the school is still in the annexation, and it would seem impossible to have 312 homes with many secondary units and also the school and still only need 107 acre-feet of water. The final concern I have is that, as stated many times, any annexation that comes into the city must provide its own
water. Time is up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Rebecca McMurray.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. I just have two quick announcements tonight. One is the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce is really proud to announce the theme for this year's Clam Festival, which is Clams, Pismo's Buried Treasure. And so our parade this year will have somewhat of a pirate theme, so we hope that council can start working now on their ideas for your council entry into the parade. And the parade is Saturday morning, October the 20th, and the parade starts at 10 a.m. And if there's anyone out there listening in the public as well that is interested in being a part of the Clam Festival Parade, just contact the Chamber office at 773-4382, and we'd be happy to get you an entry form for that parade. And I would also like to announce that the Chamber will be holding, for downtown businesses, but also anyone else who is interested in attending, a parking workshop to discuss the parking management plan that Council approved at the last meeting, and to be available to answer any questions that the downtown businesses and residents may have regarding that. And that will be on Wednesday, October the 10th. And the location, unfortunately, is to be determined, so I'll let you know as soon as we have that location. It will be at 8:30 in the morning. So if we look forward to seeing you at that as well, and businesses and members of the public. Thank you.
Okay, and the Clam Festival is October 20th
and 21st.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Is there an entry fee for the city council on their float?
No. We don't charge an entry fee, but we do ask for a toy donation that we give to the Firefighters Association in conjunction with their Rick V1 toy drive.
Okay. Thank you very much. Tony Spinelli.
Our mateys. Honorable Mayor, members of council. Tony Spinelli, Pismo Beach. I'm standing before you to correct an error that the news media made in regards to our parking plan a couple of weeks ago. And in that short little interview, they had mentioned that the entire downtown parking basically was going to be paid parking. Everything west of Dolliver was going to be $1 an hour. Everything east of Dolliver was going to be 75 cents an hour. That is, in fact, not true. We have created a parking district, as you see on that wall. What's entailed is that the current public public-owned parking lots by the city, with the exception of Addy Street, will be considered in the paid parking zone. 100 and 200 block of Pomeroy and 100 and 200 block of Addy, Holmes will also be considered paid. The rest of the areas that are currently timed will remain timed as much as 3 hours. And the reason I bring this up is because I got a couple of phone calls myself and with some concerned citizens regarding that if they were going to visit the downtown, they were going to have to, in fact, pay. My question to a couple of the callers was, how much time do they spend in the downtown core? One happened to mention about maybe 2 hours. The other one mentioned an hour and a half. Maybe having lunch or breakfast or whatever. And I said, well, there'll be plenty of time parking within the core. So the misnomer of everything being paid in the downtown core is that it's a misnomer. So to set the record straight, there is going to be paid parking eventually in the downtown core, which will be the parking lots owned by the city, with the exception of Addy Street. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have no other speaker cards. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to an item not on the agenda? Seeing none, I will come back to the council. Now is the time for council comments. Councilmember Vardis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to ask staff a question regarding the paid parking district, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
Just for clarification, because, and this is also an attempt to clarify what was stated in a recent newspaper article regarding the paid parking and the parking management plan. Paid parking is to include the four lots that Mr. Spinelli identified, but also those streets that are highlighted in green. Would there be paid parking on those streets?
To reiterate, it'd be the city paid, the city-owned lots and the leased lot that the city leased. It'd be the first two blocks of Pomeroy from the beach to Dolliver, and it'd be the first two blocks on Hines Street from the beach to Dolliver, and the one block of Cypress Street between Palmer and Hines. The rest of the downtown, it will be free parking or time parking.
Thank you, Mr. Bill.
Councilmember Ravenna.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I don't know how many of council had a chance to watch the last Planning Commission meeting. It was an eye-opener. It was an eye-opener. And there's one part that I'm going to take a real interest in tonight, and I hope that you do as well. There are many we have found through website searches that are knowingly renting vacation rentals in the R1 zones. What I'm asking the council to approve tonight is that we, in fact, give these folks that are knowingly doing this and admittedly doing this 2 weeks to clean up their websites and to stop doing this activity within our community, or have their business licenses or business tax certificates revoked so they can do no business within the city of Pismo Beach. What's important about this is there is an element, I believe, of some that may not know. I'll give some the benefit of that, particularly if they're out of towners and are renting their home or what might be the case. And I believe that that information through our new code enforcement officer that's coming on board could, in fact, be gleaned, and they could be sent in a simple notice just saying, look, it's not legal within the city of Pismo Beach. But I do believe that it's important for the city council to take action on these R1 vacation rentals, and I'm asking that you all will support me in giving these people 2 weeks to clean up their websites and stop doing it or face the revocation of their business license. Is there anybody who would like to join me on that?
Thank you. I don't think that's an agenda item, so we really can't.
I'm asking for it to be agendized in 2 weeks. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
But I do think, and I want to mention this before we make a decision, that will be part of our consideration when we talk about the new ordinance that we'll be talking about with the Planning Commission. Not to say that we don't have something on the books that shouldn't be enforced, but...
The problem with that is I've heard justifications that these people are saying, well, I'm going to continue to rent this because I'm paying TOT. Let me tell you, that puts the city of Pismo Beach in a very precarious position in that we are collecting illegal funds. And I want no part of that for this community. Those are ill-gotten gains by the city of Pismo Beach because these vacation rentals in the R zones are illegal.
Okay,
period.
So you're asking for support to put it on the agenda.
Yes.
Is there support for that from the rest of the council?
I'd like to see that covered when we do have this meeting with the Planning Commission concerning these. I think that's a thing to take up. I don't, if there are any specific addresses that anybody knows about, one of the things that's required is that you turn that in to the city, and then the city has a reason to look into it. It's we have an ordinance on the books that says that you cannot run a vacation rental within an R1.
I understand, but so, you know, this is not an agenda item, so I really don't want to prolong the discussion. The question here.
Well, my suggestion is if the council member has any specific addresses, that he turn them into the desk.
Okay, is there support to add it to an agenda? Oh, come.
I have a question. Thank you. Do we have a set date for that joint meeting? Because it might be within the time frame that Councilmember Rabinow's
looking at. We have like three dates, and it will probably sometime in November. But that's one of the policy issues that the Planning Commission discussed that they'd like to discuss with City Council. So when we have the joint workshop, that will be one of the policy points of discussion.
I share your concern, but I think since the Planning Commission already discussed it and that's the direction they'd like to go, I'd like to stick with that plan. And as quickly as we could have that joint meeting, the better.
This is the only concern with that is that the city is illegally collecting illegal funds, and I do not want to see that continue. And so since I don't seem to have support, Mr. City Council, in my position as an elected official for the city of Pismo Beach, I would like to add that to the agenda in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Could the city attorney comment, please?
Well, Councilmember Rabinow said that the city is illegally collecting these funds. I'm not aware of any case law that prevents us from collecting those funds. It's a policy decision of whether or not the council wants to continue doing it. But I can tell you this right now. The Internal Revenue Service collects income tax on those who embezzle funds. It's considered a violation of the Internal Revenue Code to fail to report embezzlement as income. Now, I'm not saying that's a similar situation, but they're separate sections of the codes. The Internal Revenue Service is not concerned with the criminal violation. They're concerned only about tax collection. The city's finance department is not the code enforcement section of the city. If there's a policy direction in 2 weeks, we'll take a look at that. But I don't want the council to walk away with the impression that it is illegal and the city is incurring legal liability for collecting those funds at this point.
If that's the case, then I would like to withdraw my request, Mr. Rice, if that is in fact true. How we can continue to collect ill-gotten money is beyond me. It's kind of
well, thank you for your concern, because I think we're all concerned about that. Okay. Councilmember Earing.
Oh, goody. I got in ahead of you. Okay, I have one or two items here. I would like to encourage everybody to go to the Harvest Festival, the 28th and 29th, to our particular neighbors here at Arroyo Grande. It's a wonderful thing, and when you're there, stop by the booth for the Women's Club. I'm being paid to make this announcement.
By his wife. Yes.
But before you do that, on the 29th, we got to clean up the creek in the Pismo Creek watershed. So, you know, stop by and volunteer to pick up trash and one thing or another in the creek. I had an opportunity to attend a steering committee meeting of the Pismo Creek Edna Area Watershed on Tuesday, September the 11th, up at the Plains Petroleum Conference Room. And this committee proposed four projects for Supplemental Environmental Project, SEP, implementation funds. And they had these four particular projects that they recommended. Pismo stream gauge installation. This stream is not monitored at all. And then they had some riparian fencing that might be put up in order to keep the various stock animals out of the creek. And then some bank stabilization to look into that. And then some vegetation maintenance along the flood control channel within the city of Pismo Beach. So those are things that are probably going to go on, be ongoing projects if they can be worked out. The other thing that I'd like to report is I'm probably the first one in the community to get a kiosk. And this is the kiosk that we're purchasing, okay? And I had an opportunity to see these in Sacramento, both on the street as well as in a little conference center where they had one you could play with. And for stopping by that particular booth, I got one of these things, and you can give it a squeeze. And while we're waiting to get our 12 kiosks, which have been ordered and probably delayed somewhat, at least you'll get an opportunity to see what this thing looks like. So I'm going to pass that around to you all.
Oh, good. Thank you very much, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to thank the Parks Department because apparently we had a yellow jacket problem at Boozinger Park, and as a result of that, they did some major cleaning up there in the Poison Oak, and it's just terrific. So if you pass that along, I'd like to let them know we're the neighborhood's grateful. And I was really happy that the whole vacation rental ordinance was addressed. I thought it was very well put together, and I'm glad that you were able to schedule that with the Planning Commission. We've been waiting, so thank you. And a couple of announcements. Next week, the 24th through the 28th, is spring cleanup through South County Sanitary. So this is a tremendous opportunity. You can put out 12 standard trash cans or bags without any extra charge. So whatever your regular trash pickup day, you can get rid of all of these excess things in your garage. And if you have bulky items, you have to call South County Sanitary, and there's no hazardous waste. So this is a really good opportunity to make room for your car in your garage.
Next week on your regular trash pickup day.
And okay. If you have questions, you can call 489-4246, and that's South County Sanitary. And EOC, Senior Health Screening, Aurelia Grande will be on October 3rd, 9 a.m. at the Methodist Church. And at Grover Beach on October 16th at the Lutheran Church. So these are free for seniors, and you can get your blood pressure taken, and it's a really good service. So I want to encourage anybody that needs that to attend.
What is a senior?
55 and over.
Mm-hmm. It's actually 50. Oh, I could go.
No, it is. That's right. You have to be 50 to be part of ARP, and that's when you become a senior, I guess.
Okay. So, 50. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay. I, too, just want to stress the Creek Cleanup Day, and that's on the 29th. And they've asked that if you want to report to 13th Street, let me see if I can get that address here, 592 South 13th Street at 9 a.m. on the 29th. You'll get your gloves, et cetera, and your marching orders. It would be great if you could really help out. And then I want to thank all of those who participated in the beach cleanup last week. They did a great job. A lot of cigarette butts. Maybe we'll start fresh now. Those were old ones. It was before our ordinance. Okay, that's all I have. And with that, the next item is the consent agenda. Is there anything that the council wants to pull? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
So the motion and second to adopt to approve the consent agenda.
Councilmember Ehring?
Yes.
Councilmember Vardis?
Yes.
Councilmember Ravenel?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, the next item would ordinarily be public hearings. We have none this evening. So the first item on our agenda is a business item, 6A. If the city manager would introduce the item, please.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A concerns our annual Pismo Beach June Car Show contract. And Mr. Les Davidson, who is the CEO of Just Cruising Productions, has requested that the city modify the current June show contract, and Les is in the audience tonight. Mr. Davidson has requested that Just Cruising Productions no longer be required to reimburse the city for up to a maximum of $15,000 in city direct expenses to support the car show. To give everybody an opportunity to understand that, the present contract that the city has signed with Just Cruising Productions requires Mr. Davidson for the June car show to reimburse up to $15,000 worth of city-incurred direct expenses. Those are normally overtime for public works crews that pick up all the trash and do a whole host of things to help make this show successful, and also police overtime. There's also some other minor charges for, like, porta-potties and extra trash pickup. The annual car show, the June car show, is, of course, an important signature event for the city of Pismo Beach. Under Mr. Davidson's leadership, I believe the car show has increased in size, it's become more innovative, and has brought in a whole lot more visitors to the city, and thus benefited the city through increased sales tax. Some of the innovations we've seen under Mr. Davidson is the what he started when he first got the car show, which is this announced public address system, which uses a radio frequency to keep everybody abreast of what's going on in the car show throughout all the various streets that the cars are parked on. Another example this past year, which was very popular with the public, was the Clydesdale horses, which Mr. Davidson, it's his own initiative, he arranged for it on himself and did all the work in bringing those horses here to Pismo Beach for the families to enjoy. On the other side, I want to make the council aware that there are some complaints that the city still receives about the car show. Since we've signed the, I would have to tell you that, though, since we've signed the contract with Just Cruising Productions, the amount of complaints is drastically reduced. But we still do receive some, a few complaints every year. They are mostly concerning trash, the amount of trash and litter that's generated, and sometimes about traffic. So those are the most common complaints that the staff receives. Fiscal impact of your decision tonight, of course, in this last car show, and Mr. Davis, in the last car show, the amount of expenses incurred by the city is about $21,000. $11,260 for Public Works Department overtime, $6,911 for Police Department overtime, and then the other miscellaneous things that I previously mentioned. So, presently, under the contract we have, Mr. Davidson is responsible for reimbursing the city up to $15,000 of these costs. I believe the council has several options that are available. Number one would be authorize myself, the city manager, to sign a new modified contract for a 5-year period, which would run 2008 through 2012, which would waive both the 2007 charges, which Mr. Davidson has requested in his letter, and not require Just Cruising Productions to reimburse the city, and also to not require Just Cruising Productions to reimburse the city for future city expenses. Option two would be, of course, enforce the current contract, which does go through December 31st, 2009. Option three would be authorize the city manager to sign a modified contract, which would require Just Cruising Productions to reimburse the city for some city-incurred expenses, but not the present maximum of up to $15,000. In your staff report is the letter from Mr. Davidson dated June 29th, 2007, which he lays out why he feels pretty strongly why we should consider his request, and he's also attached his profit and loss statement to his letter. I've also attached the actual contract that the city has with Just Cruising Productions, so everybody knows what's the current requirement. The staff's recommendation, my recommendation, would be to modify the contract in some way to at least meet Mr. Davidson in at least halfway. He has been, I think, an excellent promoter for the city, extremely well organized. He starts planning for this thing 6-7 months out and starts having monthly meetings with the city and our special events committee. So he's an excellent planner. There's always things that can be improved upon, but I personally believe he's fulfilled more than his share of the bargain. So with that, I'd open to any questions or comments.
Are there any questions from the council? Councilmember Vardis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just had a question, Mr. Rice, on item 5.2 of the contract. A little confused by that. Just looking at that, I get the impression that the promoters, Mr. Davidson, is required to pay a certain portion of the revenue that's generated. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And what you're reading there is if the promoter shall pay to the city the sum of 2.5% of gross revenues in excess of $250,000. So yeah, he's also required to do that under the current contract. I would also mention he's also been extremely prompt in previous years in paying his bill. As soon as we send him the bill, we get the check.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rice.
Is there any other questions, Councilmember Ewing?
Yes. I had some questions, and I thought we were going to have a meeting with the proprietor of this car show before, but I have some questions concerning the profit and loss statement. And I'm going to say first off, I think that he's really put on a really nice show, and I think it's much improved over what it's been in the past, and he's done a really good job with this. So this is not to be derogatory in any way towards Mr. Davidson as CEO of this particular Just Cruisin'. There are a couple of items in here that I'm really not sure that I understand. And they're on page 10 of this 6A, and it concerns this profit and loss sheet. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is that we're selling the apparel is being sold for a 2% profit, which is no one would sell that kind of stuff, T-shirts and things like that, for and only make 2%. Certainly ought to be making 30% or better, or do away with it, because this does not really include the people that he has to have there selling the stuff. So I have a question about that. I don't think that's good business. The other part is that there are hard costs in here of $29,000, $29,769 for equipment rental. And there have been some rumors going around, and I don't know the answer to, that some of this bringing the Clydesdale horses in had to do with additional expenditures, both, for the horses, and I don't know whether these horses are donated by Clydesdale by Budweiser, or just exactly what happens there was one of the questions that I have, and I don't know if you know those answers, Mr. Rice, or whether we need to go to the...
Is that the only questions you have?
Those are the questions I have, yes.
They're none of our business.
No. So I don't have the answer to your question, but I'm sure Mr. Davidson would probably try and answer it.
Yeah, well, I hope he's going to give us... he knows my questions. Perhaps he can straighten me out. Thank you.
Is there any other questions of staff before I have Mr.
Yes, Dave? Madam Mayor. I'd just like to know, have there been any conversation about other events? Remember, we were doing the November event and those days. Is there, and I'm not saying that this needs to hinge on anything. It's just, can we expect more in the future?
It's been a long time since I've had that discussion with Mr. Davidson. So, again, he's here tonight, so we might ask him.
Okay, Mr. Davidson, would you mind coming to the mic?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for letting me be here, City Council and the staff. I appreciate the opportunity to come up here. First of all, I want to say to you that I'm not holding anybody up, and I don't want anybody to get that impression. We're all pretty good people here. I've gotten to know most of you, and you've been very dear to me and taken care of me and rolled out the red carpet, so I don't have any complaints. The reason that I sent the P&L to everybody is I want you to see exactly what we do. This is the only car show that we do now, so we're supporting an office and one employee. The one employee makes $45,000 a year just to keep that office open, and its primary purpose is to keep the Pismo Beach car show going so that there's always somebody on the phone every day of the week. I'm going to answer some questions that you brought up so that you know. I hope you don't think I'm a poor businessman. First of all, let me say, and I, you may have to, some of you pick your pants up a little because it may not sound, this makes sense, but I'm kind of retired. I have four other companies that take care of me. Because of a loss in my life, I decided to get into a lot of charity work. I took this show on because I felt we could do that. This show has never done anything for charity in the 20 years that I've known of this show. That doesn't mean it was a bad show. It just means that I think, in my thinking, that there needs to be a bigger cause. We've decided that our cause would be, last year it was Ronald McDonald and Make-A-Wish, this year it was the veterans, because of what our pastor said, there's a lot of people over there dying because of these terrorists, and we need to take care of them. But how this applies to the car show, this car show isn't meant to make money for me. I know that may sound strange, but believe me, it's the truth. Kevin, I think, knows more than anybody. I've shared a lot of things with him. If I can break even, I'll be happy. Now, I had my eyes wide open when I signed this contract, and I knew what I had to pay. But I also believed that if I could take the problems away from this car show and build it into what I thought you folks would be proud of, and that is stop the complaints in Kevin's office, bring the business people to a new level of business, and run a clean, clean show with hopefully no trouble, that I honestly believe that you folks would look at that and say, you know, that's a charge that maybe we ought to absorb. And of course, the more people I bring to this town, the bigger the charge gets, and there's no gate to collect any money. There's just no gate. Now, to answer specifically the question on T-shirts, this next year, where do you see that P&L? We're going to give them the T-shirts. It's a T-shirt at a car show. You'd have to be a car guy to understand it. Most of them want a T-shirt free if they come, and most car shows give it to them. We charge. Now, some of the public buys, but most of them are the car guys. By the time we bring in enough sizes to fill everybody that we've got, there's no magic formula to come up with how many do we need. Right now, if you'd like to buy a T-shirt, I think I've got 50 cases left over. And if you were at the car show this year, you would have seen us selling them for $3 to $4 last year's. And then the new one, so the profit isn't in the T-shirts. Never has been, never will be. And next year, we're going to lose money on the T-shirts. Clydesdale Horses. I got a hold of Budweiser. They give me $5,000 in sponsor moneyship. This year, they got a new manager, and I happened to say to him one day, I should have had my head examined. I said, "Hey, Jerry, how can we get these horses here?" And he said, "Les, if you want the horses, we'll get the horses." So he got the horses, but there was one condition. They'll get them here, put them in Santa Maria at his Budweiser plant, because that would be free to house them. But if I wanted them here, I had to put a tent up and supply all of the needs that they needed, trash, and make, boy, those horses needed a lot of trash. $26,000 to house them, I paid that. I didn't get reimbursed, Nobody paid me back. The $5,000 was to pay for the sponsorship of the tent, the big hot rod tent. And you see all the banners up there and all the other things that we're getting. So that gives you some idea as to what went on with the car show. If there was a gate in this car show, believe me, I think you should raise your price to me, because we've got a lot of people here, but the problem I've got as a promoter, there's no way to get that gate or fee. It's free to everybody to come. So where we get our money is off the vendors and off the car guys. The car guys give us $50 to be here. We give it all back to them by the time we buy trophies, give them the hot rod bar and grill, and give them all the discounts and the t-shirts. We don't make a dime on that. Without the vendors, we'd be totally upside down. So I hope this gives you a little feel of where we're going. And by the way, let me just say this, and I'm so proud of this, and I'd like, this isn't why I'm here, but you don't know this. So I want all of you to know, because I think you should be proud of what the people of PISMA did. In that tent, in 1 hour for the veterans, we raised $42,000. And it's grown since then. When I got back, we had people calling from PISMA. One man in particular, $7,500 more. The amount right now that I'm going to present next week at the Veterans Hospital in Loma Linda is just shy of $90,000, and that's PISMA Beach. It's more about a car, it's not a car show. We got to do more than that. I'm asking you to relieve me of that obligation, because I want to see us bring in more, and this isn't a threat, don't read it this way. I want to see us bring in more special things to bring more people to the car show. We're extending it now, so the hotels are full more days than they were before. The restaurants are full more days. We're looking at a gala night on Thursday night. I'll get with you, Kevin, on it. It's a restaurants, all the restaurants in town come. They get to sample their foods. That means we get people here another day earlier in the hotels and the restaurants. From what I've heard from the business people, every year that we've done it, they've been up anywhere from 20 to 30 to 35%. Now, that's what they've told me. I haven't seen the numbers, but I hope it would come back to us in the tax revenue that the city gets out of it. But I hope you believe what I've said. Everything I've said here tonight is accurate as I can make it. I'm sure there's other questions you may have, but I obviously I can't sit here all night. I'm probably well out of time. But is there anything I've left out real quick that someone would like to ask?
Yeah, I do.
Councilmember Ravenel.
What else can you do for us? How about doing the same thing one other time and during the year? How about making it a different event? Maybe it doesn't have to be a jar. You're a master.
You know, Bill, my plan is to retire up here, and that's hopefully going to happen.
I'll work for you for double $45,000 a year.
And
leave the council, so they might contribute.
I want to be a part of PISMA Beach and contribute on a regular basis, and that brings in that second date. Kevin and I have talked about that. We've looked at doing some type of Oktoberfest. I think it would be a fun thing to do, but we're in the planning stages of trying to put something together that would work for everybody. But certainly we haven't lost interest in doing that.
Okay, is there any other questions for Mr. Davidson?
No, I don't think so. The only other question I might have is I came up with something like about $60 or something for entry fee for the cars. Was that what it was, or
I know it's 50. Did we end up to 60? I know what it is. To answer that, it's $50, but if you wait till the last moment, it goes to $60 because it costs us more money to process at a later date.
Okay. Now here's my real question.
Okay.
Is there anything that we can do either to raise fees for the people to participate, Well, you say you want to give the shirts away, so
is there
anything that we can do? See, it costs us $20,000 to put this on, and we're $5,000 short.
Right.
Because basically we can only charge you $15,000, okay?
Right.
So it's cost us over $20,000 in order to put this on. Now, I do not know the amount of tax that we might bring in on that weekend. Yeah, I'd have to go to George here and ask him. But it seems to me that, you know, the city would like to break even too. And between the two of us, our staff, I think we ought to be able to come up with something so that the city is going to break even also.
Do you have any other questions?
That's it.
Okay. I don't have any questions. I thank you very much. And
thank you for all of your time. I appreciate that.
Okay. I'll open this up to the public. And I do have a few speakers cards. One is Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, Council, Art Anthony, live on Coral Court. I've been to almost every car show that Pismo Beach has had since 1983. I think it's the first one I went to up here in a long time. I've been to a lot of other car shows at other places. This was the best one I've ever been to, and it wasn't just a weekend. I started four or five days before looking at the Clydesdales, and so did a lot of other people. And a lot of those other people were staying in our motels, and they were eating in our restaurants for 4 or 5 days, not just a weekend, which is what we had before. I appreciated seeing Mr. Davidson's balance sheet, but it didn't help me a lot. What I didn't see in this report, but like others who have no life, I knew it because I had read it in previous city reports, how well we did on sales tax income and on TOT in the month of June. And I think that should be articulated. Perhaps one of you could get Mr. Eads to do that. Because it seems to be that June and in later July were, in the words of this report, record-breaking here in the city of Pismo Beach. I really believe that Mr. Davidson, as Mr. Rabinow so well said, is a master promoter and show conductor. And I appreciate him very, very much and all of his associates. I had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tony Spinelli.
Honorable Mayor, members of the Council, Tony Spinelli. As I look at this report and I look at the TOT for the summer, June was up 10.5% over the previous year. Which amounted to, in TOT, it reads about $62,000. We were at $598,000 last year. We're at $660,000 this year in TOT. I attribute a lot of that to this car show, and I'm going to tell you why. As one of the evil ones in the vacation rental business, I've seen our June sales up. And with all due respect, Mr. Rappinall, yes, you five do have the position to ask for information. He is a partner with the city. So yes, you can ask any question financially that you want. After the car show, yeah, there was a letter to the editor about, you know, the traffic, the parking, the trash and everything, but you know, and one of the letters that was kind of comical because it said that we should get rid of the car show. That to me would be the biggest detriment the city would ever see, number one. I don't see Pebble Beach getting rid of the Open, the Riviera getting rid of the Open, Long Beach getting rid of the Grand Prix, because there are so many people that infiltrate their cities and leave their trash behind and so forth. I can tell you, being in the heart of downtown, that the day after the car, when these guys leave that night, this downtown is spotless. It amazes me how they pick up after themselves. Yes, there's a couple things that need to be kind of tweaked. The crews, for one thing. You know, I don't think we need any more people in this town as far as in that 1-2 days because of the fact you can't get around anyway. But the Clydesdales were huge. And I think that that is the reason why this show went off the way it did this year, is because it capitalized not on the tourists, but the locals. The locals came into our town in groves. When those Clydesdales landed underneath that tent down there,
It was amazing. I went down and met Les and Pam, and as I was going through the tent, she took me with my little 8-year-old through there as a tour, and I'm listening to these moms on the cell phones, "You got to come down here." And this was on Tuesday. That it was phenomenal. So I think, in wrapping this up, I think that with the increase in TOT, and if the city and the Davidsons can come to kind of mediocre agreement between the two parties, I think that we should kind of not look, excuse the expression, a gift horse in the mouth. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary Lee Hyman.
Mary Lee Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor and members of the council, we all recognize the importance of this car show event, and we certainly don't want to lose this show. It's unfortunate that the bottom line did not pencil out in the black from last this year. Our contract shows that we are quite willing to share in any extra profits he gets in the good times. And Les is asking us that we share a little bit of the bad times this year. We know that Les will make every effort to not lose money in the future, and we hope that to be the case because he can manage expenses and he can work on income. And I ask that you consider the city manager's recommendation.
Excuse me, but
Councilmember Ring, could we let her finish on her 3 minutes? Mary Lee, go ahead.
I'll be within my three. I ask that you consider the city manager's recommendation that you modify the contract in some way. Let's work on making it a win-win effort. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have no other speaker's cards except for I have this feeling that Don rushed down here, even though he had surgery today. He's supposed to swing on him, I think.
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council. My wife is furious in the car, so I'm going to get a divorce.
I'm sure.
I would just like to very quickly say that I've been involved in the car show prior to Les and currently with Les since he's had it. It's been a very, very well-run organization. It's probably our signature event. And one of the things I think we could look at is the fact that it is cheap advertising for this community. That may have been already alluded to, but nothing else in this community brings so many people. If I'm not mistaken, we paid $10,000 for the fog show, the fireworks. And that, I don't believe it brings as many people, and it certainly doesn't bring, and I don't mean to be derogatory, but it doesn't bring the affluency of the public that the car show brings. And as you probably know, I looked very hard into Les's credentials and his partners prior to them coming on. I'm here to tell you that he's done an outstanding job, in my considered opinion, and Mr. Spinelli and I have also looked at it, and you know, we couldn't be stronger supporters, and hopefully this community has benefited from it, and the council will see the benefit of having him continue. I don't know that we have to give him everything, but I would certainly say that it's cheap advertising, and it's to our benefit to continue our relationship with him. Thank you. And
I'm Thank you go. Very much, Gil. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? I'm not sure there's anyone left to do that. Okay, with that, I'll come back to the council. We have asked our questions, I believe, although Mayor Pro Tem has her light on.
Oh, I don't have a question. I'm just going to comment.
Okay.
Please do. Thank you, Madam Mayor. One of my very first council meetings, and it was the car show contract, and it was whether we should award it to a different promoter, and the council, I believe, voted 5-0 to take that risk, and I didn't understand what a huge decision that was because we took a lot of heat from people in the community, a lot. I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh. And it ended up being one of the best decisions this council has made. And each year, this car show has gotten better and better and better. I read with interest that Paso Robles decided not to hold their car show this year because they didn't think the expenses that the city incurred were worth it. I have a feeling that that council's getting a lot of heat. I've seen it in the paper and you hear, because so many people enjoy these events. And it was already stated that our sales tax, TOT revenue is up. Our businesses must be thrilled. It's a terrific way to give Pismo Beach exposure. And when I'm looking at these expenses, I'm also wondering if the city could also look to be maybe perhaps more efficient, too, in the way that our employees from Public Works or the police department work, that we could bring some of our expenses down a little bit, too, and work collaboratively. I think that would help. I would support modifying the contract perhaps to $5,000 with a review in 2 or 3 years. Because I don't want to see this car show leave. I think we all benefit from it. And there were a tremendous number of residents that came down and enjoyed the car show. So I think you did a terrific job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Ring, do you have any comments? Councilmember Vargas?
I would like to say something.
Sorry, I did not see your light. Would you like to speak?
Sure. Well, thank you, Mary Ann, very much. You know, Les, you do a wonderful job. There's no question about it. But I think that there is also no need to charge you that $15,000, and this is the reason that I think that, and I think that Don Day said it eloquently, in that the advertising we get out of it. I would like to see, as an example, Susan Brazil and our CVB be offered a booth down there, where we can have brochures about our clam festival, about all of the different things that we do without the town, and maybe bring some of these car show people back one more time. Maybe they like the car show so much, and they liked Pismo Beach so much that now maybe they're going to come back and see the clam festival, or maybe they're going to. How many of them know about the marching band review that we have with 60 schools from around the state of California? And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to get the word out to those many people. I'm not in favor of charging anything for these services, because I think the trade-off to the city of Pismo Beach is more valuable than $15,000. And if you would consider that, allowing the city of Pismo Beach to actually man a booth there, maybe the council people could go down there and shake hands and say, hey, and this is what we've got going on. And who wouldn't come back to something like that? So that is my suggestion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Vargas.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I would have to concur with the statements made the meeting tonight that Mr. Davidson, he did a fantastic job, and this past car show was a huge success. My kids in particular really enjoyed the Clydesdale horses, and I hope to see those horses again. So I'm in support of option number 3, that we authorize the city managers to sign a new modified contract. And I don't know if I want to specify a particular dollar amount. I would prefer that we leave it up to the discretion that to work to some type of new modified amount, and that would come back to the council for approval anyways.
Okay, is that a motion?
It's not a motion at this point, because I don't think everyone's had a chance to speak.
Okay, Councilmember Ehring.
Okay, I asked the questions, the hard questions, to find out whether or not there's something that we can agree to. I certainly do support the car show, okay? And I think you've done a wonderful job, Les. I'm not trying to say anything about your business ability, so I hope you didn't take it that way. It's just, it's our job also to look over things and make sure that, you know, that the city is not operating at a loss. And as you say, you had extra expenses associated with the Clydesdale that probably, really did take away from the profit margin or from breaking even that you say. And for that reason, I'm willing to go with you on the loss this time. I just like to, if we do go forward with this contract, and I also too. Think that number 3 option would be the better one and be willing to vote for that. And whether it's whether you leave that dollar value there at $15,000, or you make it five or whatever, I think is what we ought to try to do is all of us ought to try to break even. And I would leave that up to staff to negotiate this, to get this contract, and just take a look at it and see whether or not we can all break even on this thing, because that's what we really want to do. I don't know that there's any benefit whatsoever for the city to share any way in the, you know, if this was a private corporation, I'd look to the fact that, hey, we could share in the in donation to the Veterans Administration and get that money back, too. So, but we have no need for that kind of thing because we don't pay those kind of taxes. But I think that I don't think Les should lose money, nor do I think that we should lose money, and maybe we can work it out next year.
Okay, thank you. I think that the car show was wonderful. The Clydesdales really did add a lot, and I think we did attract a lot of the locals, and I really appreciated that a bunch. I wouldn't want to see you raise the cost of entering the cars because I think you would lose some of them, and I think that's an important, I mean, that is the car show. It's the car show. So I wouldn't want to see you lose that interest, and that would concern me. I think there is room for us to give a little on this because it is such a success. I think it does a lot for our community, and I really appreciate that. You do a wonderful job.
So can I make a motion? Do you mind?
I think I'm favoring number three, too. Please make a motion.
Okay, what I'd like to do is for, you know, just because staff makes three recommendations, it doesn't mean those are only the only recommendations in the world. I mean, council is a thinking body and can do something on their own. My motion, of course, will be to negotiate with Les Davidson and the organization to give the city of Pismo Beach prime real estate at the car show in order for us to increase our revenue throughout the year in exchange for those fees.
Is there a second?
Could you clarify that? I'm not understanding what you're asking
Well,
for.
You see, what happens is that in many of the things that we do in Pismo Beach, and Cal Poly did a study on this back in 1998 when I first came on the council, and it's the amount of times that people visit Pismo Beach and how long they stay in Pismo Beach, and it was terrible. They came one time a year. Now, this is back in 98, mind you, one time a year, and they stayed for a day and a half. Then they went to Hearst Castle or San Luis or someplace else. So over the years, in fact, former Mayor Dick Merrow had a one more day campaign trying to get something going so we could people stay in town one more time. What I believe, this is like the California Welcome Center of downtown Pismo Beach, that if we had brochures out there that talked about all of the events that we had throughout the year, the 4th of July, the Clam Festival, the band reviews, on and on and on, these people are going to see it. The thousands of people that are here are going to see it, and it's a better advertisement than a one-column ad for $15,000 in Sunset Magazine, which we pay one time, 15 grand for that ad. What I'm saying here is we've got this wonderful group of people. Don Day made the correct assumption that this is a more affluent group of people that come to town. Not I couldn't afford one of those cars. But what it gives us is an opportunity to capitalize on these people more than one time a year and allow them to come back. So it's just like spending a $15,000 ad in Sunset Magazine, but we get a five-day festival out of it.
Councilmember Rabinal, I'm still not clear. Were you asking for a vendor booth? Is that what
No. I'm asking him to donate, prime space for us to put up a Pismo Beach booth, a welcome center booth, I don't care what you want to call it, a booth, a place.
Can we use the chamber office?
No, you want something down there where the activity is. Hell, maybe you ought to give us a part inside the tent. Give us a wall inside the tent. And this is the Pismo Beach Visitor Center.
Okay, do you want to restate your motion and see if we can get a second?
Okay.
what I'd like to do is, in exchange for these fees, that Les Davidson Production, in fact, provides the city of Pismo Beach a premier spot to acquaint the car show visitors with all that Pismo Beach has to offer in hopes of getting them back multiple times a year.
Is there a second? Hearing none.
You don't know what I'm talking about either, Ted?
The motion dies for lack of second. Is there another motion?
Well, can I just comment on Councilmember Rabinal's request? Because I believe what you're asking for is a really good idea. I think it's a very unique way to promote the city, and we are missing that opportunity. But when you make that motion, it leaves an awful lot out there. For instance, who's going to man it? Is it going to be even more? You know, we're already $20,000 because of employee and employee overtime for the most part. So is that going to add to it? And those, you know, so when you have a motion like that, I guess I'm uncomfortable with the other ramifications of that kind of a motion.
Okay, and I wouldn't know any other way to present it at this time because I don't know if Susan Brazil is even interested, if Kevin Rice thinks it's a good idea. I know I would certainly go down and work it. I'm knowing the council like I do. You probably all would too. But it is just an opportunity. I will say that in the motion that I will get volunteers to man that throughout the entire time that the tent is up. I will get you. See, it won't cost the city a nickel.
Okay. Well, my response would be perhaps I think there was some discussion about allowing the city manager to sit down, option three, to renegotiate a contract with Mr. Davidson, and that could be part of the negotiation, the value, et cetera.
Well, yeah, but it's. Yeah,
okay. Motion did not receive a second. It dies for lack of second. Is there another motion?
Madam Mayor, I move to authorize the city manager to sign a new modified contract, which would require Just Cruisin' Proper Productions to reimburse the city for some incurred expenses, but not the present maximum of $15,000. And as far as that negotiations, the city manager would discuss the option or idea of perhaps Mr. Davidson allowing the city to have some type of booth or some type of thing, if you will, at the car show that would allow the city the opportunity to promote the attractions and opportunities. It's just directing staff to and to discuss that. That's it.
I'll second that. May not vote on it, but I'll second
it. We have a motion and second under discussion. Is there any discussion? Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So you want some reimbursement, but you're going to let the city manager kind of negotiate that with Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Okay.
Under discussion, Madam Mayor, is that I hope that part of the discussion that the city manager will come up with, though, is maybe, like I'm saying, this $15,000 ad for one time in Sunset, that maybe the economic benefit of this can be shown to the city manager and staff and say, look what you're getting, and we'll even spice it up for you. You know, we'll put showgirls out there. So I don't know.
So,
it's a city booth. Forget that.
Is there any further discussion?
Madam Mayor and Council, I just wanted to remind you that, of course, if you authorize me to have this negotiation, then I got to bring the contract back, at least on the consent agenda, for your final approval anyway. So you'll see it again. I mean, this isn't the end of it. You'll see the results of the negotiation.
That sounds good with me.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Madam Clerk.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we will have a 5-minute break. Okay, item 6B. Mr. Rice, would you introduce item 6B?
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6B is a some options for leasing or renting the office space, which is presently occupied by the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce and by the Visitor Information Center, which the Chamber of Commerce runs on behalf of the City of Pismo Beach. And I'd like to ask George Eads, who wrote the staff report, to go ahead and give that. George.
Thank you, Mr. Rice, Madam Mayor and Council. This just do a quick overview of the of this staff report, which we're just presenting some options. It has been requested by council in March, I believe it was, that information be presented to the City Council regarding some options for the city's rental charges for the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce use of the city-owned building at 581 Dolliver. Background is presented. According to city records, the city has leased space in the city-owned building at 581 to the Dolliver to the chamber for about 24 years, since 1983. For about 7 years, the rent charged by the city was the nominal amount of $1 per year. Then for about 4 years, the rent was $825 per month, or $9,900 per year. But council's funding support increased by that same amount for the chamber during that time frame. Then in 1994, rent was reduced back to a dollar per year, and in 1996, the city and chamber entered into an agreement for contract services regarding the Visitor Information Center, under which the chamber has operated the information center and provided other services. While the city has provided funding support plus space at 581 Dolliver to be shared by the VIC and the chamber at no rent. During that time, the chamber has paid for its electric, gas, and solid waste utility services, but the city has not charged the chamber for water and sewer. So that's the quick picture of the historical experience of rental and fees paid. I go down through a couple of paragraphs in which I describe some alternates, including rental for the executive director office or partial rental for some shared areas and some costs for water and sewer services. And list four options. Continue the present agreement with no change. Modify the agreement to require the $1 rent per year, which had been done before. Amend the current practice to charge for water and sewer, or charge for some portion of the rent. So.
Thank you. Is there any questions of staff? Yeah. Councilmember Erie.
George, do we pay? Have to pay taxes on that property? City doesn't have to pay taxes on that property, does it?
Property tax, we do not pay. The city does not pay property taxes on land it owns within the city.
Good. Thanks.
There's no other questions. I will go to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, members of Council, Tony Spinelli. As I understand it, the chamber pays for all utilities, trash, and so forth for not only the chamber office, but for the annex as well as the police annex and the restrooms outside, as well as all the trash that comes out of that restroom. What's interesting about this is we just forgave somebody or trying to forgive fees from a promoter of the town that does exactly what we were talking about, promoting the town. If we're going to start listing what we should charge the chamber for their building, then we should start transposing that over to what should be charged for the Dandelion Preschool or any of the other buildings that the city does in fact own. We have a piece of property in Grover Beach that is just boarded up and sitting there not collecting anything. I would recommend that you agree to, number one, continue the present agreement with no charge. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Rabinow.
Well, I'm the one that brought this thing forward, as you might suspect. But it wasn't out of meanness or anything like that. There are those in the public that believe that the Chamber of Commerce is a standalone organization that is not or and should not be subsidized by the city. And by us allowing them to remain in that facility rent-free, all that I said is that if we could just take a square footage of the building, excluding the police annex, excluding any where the brochures go or something for the visitors information center and things like that, that the residents of the community will not think that it is a gift of funds by our community. And there are some that are very, very strong in that belief. None of these things. I mean, we have, 450 members or something? I mean, we have a pretty successful Chamber of Commerce here in town. And, when we're talking here about like $487 a month, I just don't see these figures as being out of line. And even though it's just a token, I think that it would just quell a lot of the misnomers that are out there about the city and a gifting of funds. So that was the only thing. I'd certainly like to charge them something. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually have a question for the Executive Director of the Chamber, if I might ask her to come up.
Sure.
Thank you. I think she could answer perhaps better than Mr. Eads.
Yes.
Thank you. Recently there was a remodel done inside.
Yes.
And who paid for that?
The Chamber paid for that.
Okay. Thank you. And if possible, just here's a question. If you were to look at the percentage of hours that the building is open, how much of that time is perhaps related to visitor information, and how much would you say is Chamber? Because I know that I've come in and you're behind the desk working with visitors that come in, et cetera.
The Visitor Information Center is operated 7 days a week. So the total hours that the Visitor Information Center is open in operation, I believe, is 54 hours a week. And the Chamber is a Monday through Friday operation most days. I do find myself down there quite often on the weekends as well. So, 100% of a substantial portion of the office is used for visitor information services 7 days a week. Even in my office, the executive director office, that isn't solely just chamber work that happens out of that office as well.
So. Okay. Thank you. Oh, and then I don't have any more questions for you. I've never seen a lease or a rental where you charge somebody for outside irrigation. I've never seen that. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Line item.
Charge and make them pay the water bill.
Anyway.
What they do with the water.
Okay, is there any other comments? Councilmember Earing.
Yeah, I'd like to see, I don't know, I would like to see maybe the Chamber pay something on the water bill, since they don't, maybe on a square footage basis or something. I can't see charging them rent. I'd like them to at least pay the water and sewer or their portion thereof.
Is there any other comment? Councilmember Vardis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My feeling is, I don't know why I think the Chamber does a good job promoting business within the city. And the city benefits from economic vitality within the city limits, generates tax, sales tax, and that some of that sales tax is used to fund city operations. And my feeling is that this is a token amount, and it's a token amount to encourage and support business activity within the community. And it's a small investment that the city makes, and I support it.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Rabinow, you have another comment?
Well, but I'm assuming you say you are supporting that, or you're supporting no charge.
That's a good question. I'm glad you clarified that. Mm-hmm. I support option one.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because the other thing, and I don't know the exact figure, but we give them about $78,000 a year you know, I mean, we heavily, but it's to our own benefit. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, they run the Visitors Information Center, and all that I'm trying to do is make a break between the $78,000 we give them, which is our business, and the chamber business. I mean, the chamber is not a part of local government. It is an organization, be it nonprofit, but they generate their own money. And for us to give them $78,000 to help defer some of their expenses and the good work that they do with that money, I don't want to take that away from them. It is not a subsidy position. The chamber should not be subsidized by the city residents of Pismo Beach. And $400 a month would cure that ill. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
I'm of the thought that I like the idea of charging them a dollar a year. And my thinking is, can you imagine if we, let's say the chamber started charging us to run the visitor information.
They do.
Oh, they do.
Exactly what they do.
$78,000.
Oh, well. Eat crow here right now. So, never mind. I'm for the option of charging them a dollar a year. And okay. There's a resolution there.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll entertain a motion.
Thanks.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we charge rent for that space at the tune of $497 per month, which is inclusive of water and sewer. Yes.
Okay, is there a second? Seeing no second, motion dies for lack of second. Is there another motion? Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. Now that I've eaten crow. I'd like to make a motion adopting the resolution of the City Council, the City of Pismo Beach, amending the present agreement with the Chamber of Commerce to require a rental payment of $1 a year.
Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and second on the floor. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Mayor Pro Tem Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Ehring?
Yes.
Councilmember Vardis?
Yes.
Councilmember Ravenel?
No.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 4-1. Thank you.
Okay, item 6C. Mr. Rice, would you please introduce the item?
Madam Mayor and Council, I'd like to ask Randy Bloom to give the staff report, which is a professional report we've had done on the Eldway and Ocean Park bluff and the erosion out there. Randy?
Thank you. As a result of the rains we had during the winter of 2005 and 2006, we had several failures occur at the bluff edge in Eldway and Ocean Park. In order for the city to begin the long-range planning and protection of that park, it was necessary to contract with Earth Systems specific to evaluate what options are available to protect the park in long range. The study identified within the boundaries of the park there were 11 locations during the above storms which resulted in significant bluff failure. And the report evaluated bluff retreats rate at a range of 1.2 inches per year to 5.7 inches per year. And if you equate that to 100-year erosion rate, it would equate to 10 feet to 47 feet. Now, a bluff doesn't automatically erode at that rate. What really happens is it erodes in chunks like we occurred during the storm. When we have a south-facing storm, it comes. But the average, if you look over the long term, is those are the averages that the bluff study projected. One thing to note is that one of the reasons we became concerned with the Ocean Boulevard's infrastructure, sewer and water in the street. We know the Coastal Commission's attitude towards bluff protection and their attitude of letting nature take its course. But it became very important for us to document where we're at today and to evaluate the cross-section of the bluff. And basically in that area, at the bottom you have a Monterey Foundation, which is the bedrock, And then above that, you have a terrace deposits. And then above that, in various levels, you have a fill, just fill. And the fill is the softest, and the terrace the next, and then the bedrock. And so because of the height of the park, you have wave action that's actually hitting the top of the bluff. And it's not the 70-foot bluff. It's down different locations. The report identified short-term solutions such as placing a riprap, large boulders, and all the little mini coves, and some of the small sea caves, and then it has some other solutions relating to a regular wall configuration, where you have soil nails that hold the wall in place. For a separate, and then there's another option of where you drill caissons in the earth back from the bluff, and you fill them full of concrete and tie them up with a bond beam that doesn't expose. And what that occurs is these caissons create like fingers, and then the soil, it prevents the soil from eroding as much. And for example, like... Shelter Cove over here. We have that scenario. So tonight, what I wanted to do is present the report. There's no council action, but what it does is, and we've been very successful, and Dennis Delzite, the Public Works Director, has been very successful, is, like, for example, the promenade. Dennis wanted a shelf-ready project. Design it all, have it ready, and have an opportunity for a grant, you're there, ready to go. This report creates the foundation for talking to, for example, like the Coastal Conservancy or something for grants in the future. But we needed to create a space and time that documented where we are today and what our erosion rate is estimated is, and some options available. And so that's what you have tonight. So it's kind of... It provides us a good picture of what we are and what could occur over time. And so that's kind of it's kind of a short presentation. And I don't want to get too deep into the technical part, but the point of this, bringing it to council and the community, is that we are working on Ocean Park. This is the part of a long-range plan to try to figure out how to save it and protect mm-hmm. that. And so... If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Madam Mayor, if I may.
Okay. Councilmember Ravenel.
You know, I enjoyed reading that report. Mm-hmm. I hate reports. Yeah. But when there's this kind of stuff, it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. You said the Monterey bedrock and then da-da-da, whatever, and then you said fill. When you said fill, did you mean that was just like a natural fill over the eons that has created that? Or was it fill by construction? Or?
No, not construction material.
Oh, okay.
Years and years ago, farming operations where they leveled everything and filled in the voids and natural fill coming down.
Okay.
Farther up on Shell Beach,
uh-huh.
In the north area, it used to be pea fields.
Oh, exactly.
And that has
yeah.
an area fill. But yeah. what that fill is, to a certain extent, is mm-hmm. the balancing and grading of land from farming operations.
Gotcha.
And that could be the same thing as yeah. we have a layer there that's softer than...
Gotcha.
Than,
all right. Well, my final question then, and believe it or not, these people are still in touch with me. And I think it was to Dennis. Might have been to you, because you used the term soil nails. Mm-hmm. But this company's got this big Blastomundo gun
right.
where they take these 6-foot-long spikes and they drive them in, and then on the heads of them they weave stuff, and then they grow plant material over right. it, and da-da-da, whatever. It's my understanding the Coastal Commission is permitting that kind of stuff, and that's being used on Highway 1 up by that beautiful bridge that goes across there, south of Monterey, you know what I'm saying, but that's all within the coastal zone up there. So I was just wondering how... Huh?
Bixby?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I can answer that. We had Earth Systems evaluate that, mm-hmm. and their response was... that the shooting in creates a fracture and it doesn't hold it. And the soil nails is actually a big piece of rebar, sometimes 20, 30 feet, and they drill it in and grout it. And it doesn't fracture the bedrock and it doesn't fracture the marine terrace. and it's actually drilled in. It's got almost like a drill bit on the front of it, and it's a long, basically, piece of rebar. It's about that big around. Depending on the depth of the retention they need, it can go from 20 to 30 feet in. And that's a better application than the shot soil.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. I'll see if I can redeem myself here with a relevant question. And this is mostly about the Coastal Commissioner,
right.
Surf Rider. With all of these recommended mitigation ideas, how does that work?
Well, we had quite a bit of experience recently. Well, it's been about 18 months now. Time flies, but with Walter Kavanoff and the Gary Grossman seawall and our cul-de-sac that we they protected for us. And what we found is that we have to get the base technical information and create a data history. Then we need to create the design. But we also, at the same point, to be successful, we need to do the lobby and political part and come together at the right timing. And we learned a lot on the steps, and so that's one of the reasons that this report is we got to create a solid base data to begin with.
Okay.
And rightfully so. They don't, they are not fond of seawalls or any kind of protection. And so we learned quite a bit on that. And if there was a seawall, they like a textured rock looking where it looks like there's new concrete techniques now of surfacing and staining that looks like the natural amenities.
So just one other little add-on to this then. So if a private property owner was having bluff issues, would your recommendation be for them to start doing this kind
Absolutely.
Of data and track
Absolutely.
The changes so
mm-hmm.
that they could begin to move forward?
Right.
Thank you.
Councilmember Earing.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a recommendation here for you to consider down the road. The aerial photographs that they used for bluff retreat analysis was in the 1949 and the ones we did in 2001 covering the low altitude.
Mm-hmm.
I would seriously recommend that we really consider down the road here flying that area or flying our coastline in order to make these kinds of estimates or retreat permanent, okay? Maybe once every 5 years we probably ought to fly that so that we had really good aerial photography to measure the bluff top retreat in various different areas because it does vary considerably.
Absolutely.
And I don't know, we may be able to spot things where we can cut down on some of that erosion. This is horrendous erosion that we find along here, and it's not going to stop, and we're just going to lose more and more of the city's territory and a lot of private land as well. And there just seems, you know, there's a lot of things that happen that we don't really stay on top of. Vegetation, for example. I mean, some of these aerial photographs that I've seen, you see all kinds of ice plant and one thing another like that grows on the over the bluff, hangs down. We see a lot of area where people, they don't realize if you dig a hole and put a plant in, the one thing you've done is you've disturbed the soil, and so now for you've weakened the soil, and the water goes in and around there, and then down, and then erodes out from there on down. We need some better method to stay on top of what's happening along our coast to be able to help ourselves to maintain this property.
Do you have any other questions?
No, that's it.
Okay.
I this subject is a problem
yeah.
for me because
I hear you.
We can't continue to do this because we're going to lose some of our streets and everything else.
Okay. Councilmember Vardis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just had one question.
Sure.
And that is, there's a mention of a spring that was observed, and I didn't really understand that. That means it's just a groundwater spring?
Yes.
Okay.
Through Shell Beach in particular, and it's helter-skelter along the bluff, is that we have arroyos coming from the hills where the water concentrates and follows down a ravine, and they've been filled in or whatever, and that water is still following the bedrock, and it'll weep out on the bluff face, and so we have one of those
okay. In
that park area. And that creates a softened point that when you do have storms and everything, that the soil is soft right there, and you get it's an accelerated point. But it's a natural phenomenon that the water is traveling down on top of the bedrock and making its way out to the bluff face.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom. The other question had to do with sort of the political advocacy of the problem with the Coastal Commission mm-hmm. and staff. Is it an intent for city staff to begin communications with the Coastal Commission fairly soon, or to wait after design, or wait after funding's been secured, or
it'll be after design?
Okay.
This is creating a foundation data,
mm-hmm.
So we have a space and time, and this is a condition. We don't have it in our budget to start full design work, but this gives us an opportunity to apply for grants for design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have a base information report.
That's a great report.
People, so.
Good situation analysis.
Thank you. If there's no other question, Mr. Rice, you wanted to make a comment.
Madam Mayor and Council, I just wanted to mention to you also that we did manage to get the Army, LA District, the Army Corps of Engineers to come here. They're coming with a 5-person team here on Thursday morning, and Dennis Delzite, Randy, and I will be meeting with them, and we'll be going, take them to a variety of places to include Eldwayne Park to try and move this thing forward. We think we've got money in the present federal fiscal year's budget for them to begin the study, and we're hopeful that through the auspices of Marlowe and Company, that we'll also be successful in getting funding in the next federal fiscal year, which starts 1 October, to finish a very comprehensive Army Corps of Engineers study of bluff erosion within our city. And then that will serve as the foundation, hopefully, to get funding, federal funding, to help us actually prevent future erosion.
Wait, that's a coup. Did you arrange that?
To get the Corps here? No, I think it was actually... It was Dennis and Greg Burns of Marlowe and Company. Greg Burns basically pestered the heck out of them until they finally said they would come up here. But Dennis also did a lot to get them up.
Thank you. If there's no further questions, I will go to the public. I do have a speaker's card from Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, Council, Art Anthony. I live on Coral Court. I was originally concerned very much about getting involved in more studies and the expenditure of more city money on this before we were able to kind of feel out the Coastal Commission. But I've been reassured in talking with Mr. Bloom and listening to you all here today that I think you're on the right track, and especially if we get the Corps of Engineers people to help us a little bit. I would like to comment that the photographs in that report that's part of this discussion, in my opinion, were excellent. And I concur with what our resident geologist, Councilmember Ehring, said about trying to keep a record of how things go along here, especially during the storm season. I've watched, as everybody who lives here has, things happen when we have one of those big storms. An awful lot of damage can be done very quickly. I would like also to mention, and maybe Dennis can correct me on this, I recollect that during the budget cycle, this last one, there was conversation about raising that curb at the base of the slope there so that not quite so much water flows over the edge and causes erosion. Was I right, or is that?
Yes, Art Anthony's right. We're off to bid on our street paving project right now, and that high curbing is included in the work. Bids are going to be opening September 27th, and we are hoping to have good bids that we can make a recommendation of award to the City Council at your first meeting in October. But that high curb project on Ocean Boulevard is included in the work scope, and what that will do is help contain the drainage water within the paved area of the street so that it flows through the storm drain inlet rather than over the top of the curb and over the top of the bluff. So that will help prevent some of the erosion that has occurred.
Thank you very much. There's no action required on this item, so it's a good report. Do we have other people in the public that would like to speak to this item? Sorry, I didn't have any more speaker cards. So.
Marilee Hyman, I didn't intend to say anything, but I'd like to echo what Mr. Anthony said, that this is a really good report, and the pictures are excellent. The property that I live on, we can actually look back on and watch this erosion take place at El Duane Park. And I'm so happy that the city is paying attention to the erosion problems that we have. We are a coastal city. I would like to invite Mr. Vardis and any other member of the council to come and see the springs run right on the edge. We have them on our block, many of the springs run year round. Thank you.
I have them in mind too. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. And as I indicated, there's no action required on this. We just need to receive the report. It was a good report. Very enlightening. Thank you very much. City Manager's report.
Madam Mayor and Council, I have nothing. Thank you.
City Attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have nothing either.
Okay. Then the final item is Council Subcommittee reports. Does anyone have anything to report? Councilmember Earing.
Okay, let's see. I attended the board meeting for the IWMA, Integrated Waste Management Authority of San Luis Obispo County, on Wednesday, September the 12th, in the Slo County Board Supervisors. And I've got about two or three items that I'd like to call to your attention. I'd like to pass these out. I think one of the first things is that the board unanimously passed a resolution number 07-03C adopting a solid waste management fee effective January 1st, 2008. And in the simplest terms, the fee is 2% of the gross revenue collected from commercial customers and 30 cents per month per residential account. Secondly, the slow free take back, and I got a little thing in there I gave you on this. The free take back program for household batteries, fluorescent tubes, and compact fluorescent light bulbs, CFLs, is in effect. And here's there you got on this thing a list of all the places that are available and stores and vendors who will take back this material, this thing, any of these items. I'd like to point out that there are two major stores that are not yet participating, and they are the Home Depot and Walmart. And letters are being strongly written to these companies to have them participate to add to this program. It's going to be sent out by Jerry Linthal and the other Board of Supervisors members to this board. The idea being, of course, is let's try to force them into participating in this program. The other thing is that a Sharps program has been passed in Sacramento, which will provide for vendor-free take-back of needles and other sharp objects, okay? So that's going into effect, and you'll be able to take any kind of needles or sharp objects instead of throwing them in the dump, take them back to the vendor where they were purchased or any other vendors. I think, and then another thing that's kind of interesting is this big belly cordless compact system. I don't know, you got pictures of this thing. And one of the things that it's solar operated, so therefore, you know, you save on power. The other thing is that it reduces collection pickups by about four times. So maybe you'd save some money. I think it's one of the things that maybe I gave a copy of this to Kevin Rice, and maybe the next time we get ready to do some trash containers that we might think about this. At least it's worth looking into, I think.
Yes, sir. And I talked with Brian Henson, our public works superintendent, this morning about taking a look into it.
Good. And I think that concludes, unless there's any questions.
No, good info, though.
Yeah.
Terrific info. Did you have a comment for
anyone? Yeah, I had a question for Ms. Herring.
Yeah, go ahead.
And these businesses are either receiving batteries or fluorescent tubes and bulbs. Are they doing that out of goodwill or?
Well, this is a grant campaign, okay? Is what happens is you get grants to do this. And this is, of course, what the Integrated Waste Management Authority is all about, really. It's recycling, okay? And that's why you had to have a fee, because what's happened is we've reduced the tonnage that we're putting in the landfill by something like 40%, which you're not getting, and this is a free program, so people get to take these things back for free. And I suppose when you look at the whole thing overall, it may not be free, because the vendors or the stores may increase the price to be able to handle the take back and all this kind of stuff. But still in all, it's free to the customer to be able to take this stuff back. So all these people have signed up to be a part of this.
Thank you. My husband and I had a discussion about this the other day, and we had a couple bulbs out of the garage that we need to get rid of.
Thank you. And let's see, while I've got your attention, there's another thing that I don't know if everybody is aware, but you can take household waste out to the landfill, and you can leave it there free. Any computers, paint, any of these kinds of hazardous type things. If you take that out there, you can deposit it out there for free. And then it doesn't go into the landfill. It goes in the recycle area.
Thank you. Good information. Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the SBIG Shell Beach Improvement Group meeting last Monday. And this group is anxiously awaiting the beginning of a specific plan for the Shell Beach Planning Area commercial streetscape. And on the 20th, which I guess is this Thursday, an RFP was put out to do the specific plan, and the firm will be interviewed. And if that firm is selected, they will come to the next meeting, which is the 8th of October at 5:10 at the Shell Beach Vets Hall, and they'll start the process of how best to reach out to the community and put together this specific plan. So October 8th.
I had a question. Quick question.
Absolutely.
That specific plan, is that looking at just the streetscape, or they're not looking at any of the design guidelines for that streetscape?
Just the commercial streetscape
plan. Okay, just streetscape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And one of the items that this group is wanting to get is trash cans along the commercial core, because there aren't any right now. And they've been working with Public Works. But a couple of the members had a discussion with the city of Santa Maria and found trash cans that they had taken out of the shopping mall, and they're sitting in their Public Works corporate yard. And it sounds like they might be free. And they looked very nice. There was 16 or 17 available. So I'll come back to the council and let you know how that happens. But that would be a great find if they're the kind of trash can that works with our Public Works Department and they're attractive. What a deal. We've saved some money.
Shelley, may I ask you a question, too?
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting. But I am curious, who
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a very good thing, that specific plan. I've been trying to get some of those all around town. But who funded that? Where did the money come from? Is that from the...
We did.
Yeah, but it's from the money that's been accumulating over some period of time now through...
We budgeted that last time.
Oh, okay.
And then there was a SLOCOG grant that's been in the past.
Okay. I'm just wondering how we can get a plan for downtown.
This isn't necessarily a subcommittee that's recognized in our agenda, but in the Pismo Heights, they've put together a focus group really focusing on fire safety, Fire Safe Council. And I wanted to announce to the residents in the Heights that the group has put together a solicitation letter in conjunction with Lori Hollis. She's a captain with CDF, and Chief Rob Lewin, who, by the way, are doing a great job with this group. And they'll be sending out this letter asking for donations to work with fuel reduction in the Heights. The Heights is surrounded by a lot of county land, and there's many people that are concerned. So if you'll be getting this letter in the mail. If you donate to the cause, it's 100% tax deductible. Cal Fire is getting the crews there to do the work. There's no charge, but the overhead costs are high, which, you know, include the fuel and machinery, et cetera. And so they're looking for money to cover those costs. Once the fuel reduction plan is done, then in following years we're going to use goats. So we won't have to be asking for any more money. But I think this is a really good project. Now, they were supposed to start this week, but because the crews that were going to work on the fuel reduction aren't available because they got sent down to a fire. So hopefully we can start that pretty soon. Last subcommittee is ocean water quality. We met last Thursday. And Dr. Kitts from Cal Poly is wrapping up the last of the details to submit the packet for the Prop 50 grant, and it should be ready for submittal probably next week. So that's excellent news. Councilmember Ehring reported on some of the projects along Pismo Creek, but Salmon Enhancement also announced that for the first time, the State Parks Department is going to complete a fish survey along Pismo Creek. Prior to this, they would just do Arroyo Grande Creek by the OHV, but now they're going to do also Pismo Creek to record the species and the relative numbers of fish. So that will be interesting, and we'll get back. Species and relative numbers. So that will be right there in the lagoon. And that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Vardis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Make this quick. The Economic Vitality Corporation, the EVC, they're still moving forward with the tourism impact study. As we've talked about in the past, they solicit proposals from firms. Actually, they went through a two-step process. One, RFQs to solicit statement of qualifications to shortlist the number of firms. And they've narrowed it down to two firms. And the next step is they're going to be requesting those firms to give presentations on their overall approach to conducting the studies for the county. There is an opportunity for, as part of this countywide study, that individual cities can participate in a more focused level, i.e. that vendor that's selected can not only do the broad brush study of the county and the impact of tourism on a countywide basis, but look at particular cities and do a more in-depth analysis as well. So there is that opportunity for the city to do that. And Mr. Rice and I, we've had some communications about that. So
it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had a Florida SLOCOG meeting. The majority of it was taken up with Florida and getting ready for bids on their new facility. A lot of controversy about what was included and what was not included. And so we only covered about one or two items on SLOCOG, and I think that was the 2050 report, and that was it, and we got out a 12:45. So the new facility for RTA is pretty hot topic right now. That reminded you of something. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. I forgot to announce I'm also on the SCAT, representing the SCAT, the South County Area Transit, and there's a meeting tomorrow at 3:30 at the Roy Grandy council chambers. So if anybody would like to come and they have concerns about the route changes down here in South County, that's an excellent opportunity. And again, that's at 3:30 at the Arroyo Grande council chambers.
Yeah, there's still a lot of conversation about that, so I'm anxious to hear back. Okay, we have no poll consent agenda items, so therefore we are hereby adjourned.